Hello, 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 everyone. I am back. I am back. I missed you guys. Oh my goodness. We are back with another Can We Talk with Jewel podcast. It's really exciting to be back after a few days off, just trying to re-energize and take care of, you know, day-to-day mom-like things. But with no further ado, I am going to jump into today's podcast topic, which I'm really excited about because this one I kind of put on the back burner for the right time and the right moment. And I think as the veil is being lifted and many people's eyes are being opened to not just what's going on, you know, in Hollywood or on television, but people are starting to see what's really going on in our communities. And I'm glad to be a part of that eye-opening experience. And hopefully we can change things together for the generations behind us, where the enemy will no longer use these kind of fear tactics, harassment, stalking, gang stalking, all of these things that have been going on for so long, and people have been real hush-hush about it because of the fear that they wouldn't be able to survive it or endure it. And so we're going to break through this matrix today, guys, and we're going to open your eyes a little bit more. But I want to thank you guys, for just your support. I really do appreciate it. And yeah. I want to remind you that we are sponsored by fundraisingcup.org ministries. So, those that are new to the podcast, we are basically a beacon of insightful discussion grounded in faith, most importantly, and honor to our Father. We discuss various topics here. Relating to supporting communities in all walks of life. And, you know, I want to reach out and invite anyone who has experienced anything that we've talked about, or maybe you didn't experience it, but you just want to grow with us. You're welcome to join us on the podcast because this is a healing spiritual journey. So as long as it's insightful and productive, you're welcome to join us at any time. So I want to encourage you all to continue to support this podcast, the ministry, and my guests. Please support them and donate because every contribution helps. Okay. So with all that said, I want to welcome our brother Thomas back on to the podcast. He is no stranger to our podcast, and we are happy, as always, to have him on board because, as I mentioned before, this podcast can be therapeutic, and it allows one to have a good release and to share their stories. And you know, I'm always appreciative that Brother Thomas is so authentic with his spiritual journey and willing to open up and share some of the toughest moments in his life with all of us. So welcome, Brother Thomas, back to the podcast. We're happy to have you.
Thank you, Jewel. And you know what? I think we need to let them know that we're doing this from a new medium. We had been doing it through the phone. Well, you're doing it through your phone. I'm doing it through headset. Through my computer, but the sound is fantastic. I'm looking forward to this new way of communication. And I just want to say this, God placed this little verse on my mind right now, and he says, where one or two are gathered in my name, there I shall be also. Amen. And I think, Jewel, that is significant for our podcast because we are one, we are two, and we are definitely gathered in Jesus' name. And where we are, there he shall be also. And you know we get blessings from this. And I do think that those of our listening audience out there, I pray that they do get a blessing from this as well. Amen, amen. Yes.
Amen, amen. This week, our topic is breaking through and collapsing the matrix. It's pretty heavy stuff because,
you know, I recall a time where, you know, you think what you see before you is what it is, and we're all pretty much living simple lives, going to work, coming home, taking care of our children, and and then we have our spirituality on Sunday or Saturday if you're a seven-day Adventist or whatever. But, you know, as I've grown into my calling, it's become so clear that this matrix before us has so much more to do with spirituality than many of us are able to recognize or see, because we're so distracted by work, by school, by all of these other things going on in our lives. And we don't realize that there are a lot of key players around us that are using spirituality in ways that we can't imagine to manipulate what we're seeing and what we're experiencing. And even in a way to create burdens in our lives unnecessarily, because they want to live better lives and use our good spiritual energy to do so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I do what I do, right? Because as I've come into my calling and realized that, hey, I'm a soldier in the Lord's army, and I have to combat a lot of this negativity, which is really, really heavy, hard stuff, because it's a lot. For those of us that are still asleep, and those of us that have children that are not expected to be awakened as of yet, but I am somewhat surprised that I come across some really, really mind-blowing children that are like years ahead of their time. You know what I mean, Thomas? Just,
yeah, I do. You got those special gems. Yeah, exactly.
You know, were touched by God, and they were put here with a purpose, and they've discovered their purposes far earlier than many of us. And those are true little angels on earth. And
amen.
I'm always grateful to talk to them and get insight from them.
Mm-hmm.
But today's scripture, interesting enough, we're taking out of 2 Kings. And speaking of little people, just a sidebar, I actually ran into this little handsome young man this morning as I exited my home. And when I glanced down at him, he couldn't be older than maybe 3 or 4, but I glanced down at him and I said, "Good day, little king." And he just smiled from ear to ear, you know, just reminding me that these are going to be our little kings of tomorrow that we have to build up and protect and be as truthful as we possibly can be, not just with the masses, but with these little people. So, that just came to mind as I was thinking about today's scripture taken from.
That's good. They're very good. Well, you know, Jesus always wanted the children to come unto him. And, you know, because he always had a special lesson for them, you know, that was different from the adults. I'm sure the adults were there to get their own inspirations, you know. But Jesus said, "Hearken the children to come unto me." And so whenever he did, I mean, if the adults would bother to listen to those little nuggets that, you know, Jesus was saying to be simple, you know, simple children, and had to do it in a specific way, you know, but it had much meaning in those lessons. And so I really thank you, just like the songs, the children's songs, you know, I've said this before. You know, those songs that we grew up with as being adults and think back to when we were children, those songs are so prevalent today as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right.
And I hope they still get recycled. But, you know, I think one that comes to mind is This Little Light of Mine. I think that was one of the first songs
that
I've learned.
Let it shine,
as
let it shine,
person.
Let it shine,
yes.
Yeah. And another one that I always liked, and because, again, I think it has to do with a lot of things we're dealing with race. You know, Jesus recognized that there were differences in people, you know? But it wasn't about their skin color. So you remember the little song, red and yellow, black and white, Jesus loves you. Jesus, something you are precious inside. Jesus loves the little children of
children
the world.
Of the
well,
world. Yes.
We are all children of the world, Jewel. And if we would recognize that fact and stop this, gosh, awful race, you know, thinking that one is better than the other, we're not. We're all the same. We all bleed the same color, you know?
Yeah.
And if we are in Jesus, the same. We do. And that's the goal. That's what God wants. Come on, people. Let's have kumbaya moment. Wouldn't that be great, Jewel? Could we not just appreciate a kumbaya moment? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's another distraction of the enemy in this matrix, Brother Thomas. This whole race war and things of that nature. We are children of the Most High God, and we should not be focused on melanin or lack thereof.
No.
We are supposed to be focused on love and building His kingdom.
Right.
Everything else is just a distraction.
Well, and you know, the devil wants to pit us against each other.
Yeah.
Because when there is this separation, then there's weakness. You realize, so this is what they're doing to us. If y'all realize what's going on in the world today, they're trying to keep us separate. They're trying not to get us to talk to one another. Think about it.
Yeah.
Now, why is that? Because we have more in common than we have difference.
That's so true.
So, yeah, let's get into this. This is going to be good.
Yes. So, Brother Thomas is going to be reading from 2 Kings chapter 7. And I just want to preface it a little bit for you guys. You know, we're going to be reading about Elijah, and with the SH, that traps the Arminians by God's mighty power. Elijah's relationship with God runs so deep that the king of Israel takes notice and has him guard the country. However, the king of the Arminians does not like this and seeks to capture Elijah. So Elijah, you know, this story has a very compelling testament of God's divine protection and providence over the land, and it really hits close to home, especially for me, when we talk about divine protection. You know, I think about my life. I think about some of the plots and plans over my life and the divine protection God has had through it all. And even when there's jealousy, like there was with the king of the Arminians, overpower what God has in store for Elijah, which is pretty amazing if you follow the story of Elijah. But through Elijah's ministry, we learn to trust in God's supernatural provision insight in our lives. No matter how tumultuous, and I want to emphasize that, matter how tumultuous or challenging our circumstances may seem, we serve an awesome God.
Yes.
So with that said, I'm going to let Brother Thomas jump into the scripture, and then we will walk right
And then after I finish reading, Jewel, after I finish reading, I found something in my, this is weird, this was actually the way I kept the scripture separate in my Bible. I put this envelope in there, you know, to be a marker, I guess. And I, for some time, I guess I was thinking out loud, and I wrote something down that is so prevalent to exactly what everybody needs to hear. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the scripture. And if you don't mind, Jewel, I want to read this thing that I wrote because this is huge. I mean, this is exactly, it's like, I don't know when I wrote this, but you know how you just scratch things down on a piece of paper? Mm-hmm. And I did. I did this. And I don't know if it's something I was going to cover in another podcast or something, but I did write it down, and it happens to be as the bookmarker, the page marker. So I do believe God wants me to read it, but and I will get into that just as soon as I finish reading the scripture. Okay, let's get started. So as Jewel said, we are doing 2 Kings and chapter 7. And again, I want to say something about sevens. You know me and sevens, and if you don't, well, let me tell you, sevens are very important to me, and they're important to God as well. So here we go. Now, I'm going to read just a little bitty snippet of the first part because it kind of like makes sense for what the other specialized scriptures are. So basically, it would be chapter 7 goes all the way from verse 1 all the way to verse 20, but that's a whole lot of stuff to read, so we're kind of like skimming through it. So here's how it goes. Then Elijah said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Okay, now keep that in mind. Now then, the royal listening, he says, on whose hand the king was leaning, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this be? Could this thing be?" He's mocking God. You don't need to do that. Then he said, "Behold, you shall see it." This is what Elijah said. "Behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Let's think on that one. Okay, here we go. So, verse 3. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we'll die here also. Now, therefore, come, let us go over to the camp, the enemy camp of the Arameans. Hear us, hey, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." So they rose up at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. And when they came to the outskirts of the camp, they noticed the Arameans were not there. The camp was deserted, but not really so. The people were gone, but everything else was still intact. And they're going, "Wow, this is amazing, you know. Oh, wow, we were thinking we were going to be hungry and all this." No, God provided for them. So here's what they realized. You know, these people had left in such a hurry, and they couldn't understand it. And they said they'd left the horses and the donkeys and all the food and all the riches. I mean, here's 4 guys, and they're going, "Woohoo! You know, we're in lucky land." All right, so then verse 9 is the following. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right." They felt guilty, you know. They said, "This day is, but we're keeping it silent. We're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." Okay, so they went off to tell the king. Now, they didn't have to. You realize this. You know, we have, and it basically goes back to what God gives us. He gives us, you know, free will. So they could have freely willed to, you know, share and share in just amongst themselves. But they chose to make sure the king knew about it, which is a loyal thing to do, an honorable thing to do, even though these men were basically scorned. And they were separated from the others because of an illness, an ailment, you know. And so they were left to die. And so here are these people that had been left on the outside of the gates to die. And they decide, you know what? The king needs to know about this. And I admire them for that. And again, this is a part of the lesson, I do believe. So let's go to the next one. So verse 16. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So they went back and told them. And the people came back. And they said, "Then a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel. And 2 measures of barley for a shekel according to what the word of the Lord said. Now the king appointed the royal officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. So he didn't, you know, remember that royal loyal person? Yeah. So he was assigned to watch the gate. Well, I think his fate's coming. So anyway, here's what it said about him. So he said, yeah, royal officer, I want you to be in charge of the gate. But the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. Now, and it came about just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and 1 measure of flour for a shekel, shall be sold tomorrow, about this time, at the gate of Samaria. Ta-da! It's there. Then the royal officer answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, woe be unto him. God, could such a thing be? Like he's asking the question. You know, I doubt it. You know, people this day, Jewel, they always want to have proof. You know, when you have faith in God, you don't need proof. You don't. You simply realize that God is all-knowing, all-being, all-loving. So don't question him. Don't question his guidance. Mm-mm. No need to, because he knows what's best. Even though we may think not, he knows best. All right, and then let me finish this up. And so he said, and so it happened to him, to that royal guard. For the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. So the royal guard never did get to see the flour being sold for that amount of money. So in other words, he was deprived of the glory, of the victory. Sue Jewel, you see what that means? That's amazing, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now here's what I want to read that's in my Bible on this envelope here, people. And I do, it's a little hen scratching, so I hope I'm reading it correctly. So it says this, with all your adversities that you are facing this very day, always remain strong in your belief in God as your ultimate protector and savior. He will provide the rod and the staff to fight off. Put on your full armor of God and headstrong into battle with God by your side. Wow. Now, I was inspired to write that, but it means a lot. I'm crying because y'all know the adversities that I face every day. And say my belief prayer. I say, God, you have control of my day. I'm just going to let go and let God. I'm just going to trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And people, I get a blessing every day. And I do. And that's what I want for y'all. I want y'all, but you know mostly who wants you to have a blessing? Jewel, do you know who wants them to have the most blessings? You know who it is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's God.
Mm-hmm.
He wants his people to have blessings. He is a loving God. Listen to his word. Learn from what you hear. Discernment is so important. Separate the wheat from the chaff. All of this chaff that we're listening to on TV and on people, these people who get up there and they're trying to be pious and almighty, and I'm talking about some pastors, I'm stepping on some toes with that. But, you know, they're only out for what's good for them. They don't care about people. And so, you know, that's why basically how we're supposed to deal with living with Jesus is a one-on-one thing, you know, a one-on-one, you know, testimony, a one-on-one feeling of pride and love and hope. Much hope for the future. Amen, amen. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. You can go ahead, Jewel. Jewel?
Yes, I'm here, Thomas. I'm sorry. There was a minor glitch there, but I am here. Thank you so much for that reading. It was you always do a phenomenal job with the readings, and I appreciate you doing it and giving us your interpretation as well, Brother Thomas.
Thank you.
What I wanted to jump into was, since Brother Thomas already kind of given you guys a breakdown of the stories and how it relates to his life and our day-to-day, I want to discuss a little bit more about breaking through and collapsing this matrix from a perspective of someone who has a very deep spiritual understanding of what we're called to do, right? Mm-hmm. I think many people have conversations about, let's say, the news, right? You guys go to work and meet around the water cooler, and oftentimes someone will bring up a discussion about what the tell lie vision is revealing to you guys. And oftentimes we get so caught up with the propagandas that are placed before us, and the just the whole falsehood of what we should expect in our day-to-day lives with normal human beings, right?
We're supposed to have loyalty and allegiance to our leaders.
Yes, that's what you see on the screen. And what's happening behind the scenes are key players that hold certain positions and are affiliated with different groups, whether they are religious groups or fraternal orders. Their loyalties are connected elsewhere other than what we are being shown, which would be to the country first, right?
Hey, Jewel, you know what I look at those people as? And I think you'll this will jog your memory. I know there was a movie that came out about this. Do you look at them as Decepticons?
You know, it's funny you say that, because my middle son had said that some time ago, and I always think he's a little blessing, but he had made a reference to me one time and said, "Mom, why are there so many Decepticons running around here perpetrating frauds?"
And of course, but when you break that word down, decept, okay?
Yes, to deceptive. Mm-hmm.
Lie. But cons, there's your big one, people, because they are criminals.
Yes.
They're criminals. They're conning you into believing. Yes. They're conning you into thinking it has to be their way or the highway. Sorry, I had to interject that, but I think it was criminal.
That was an excellent interjection, and I'm going to build off of that a little bit.
Okay, great.
Because I know we have our sidebar conversation from time to time, and I mentioned to you, I think it was last week, I said, you know, Brother Thomas, the Academy Awards really need to expand.
yes. To the local yokels.
To the local actors and convicts that are not being recognized for their performances day to day. Which goes along with what I was mentioning before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that these people are actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the scenes, they are
so
part of groups and very deceptive and wrestling with
it's a tug of war. Do you see it as a tug of war, Jewel? A tug of war?
We're pulling back and standing our ground, 10 toes down, and trying to combat all of the negative energy that's being pushed onto the masses.
Yeah.
And
you realize, Jewel, you know what that means? If everybody's played tug of war, and I'm sure you have when you were a kid, what was the ultimate goal? You remember?
Well, you wanted to pull the other team over to your side.
Well, actually, you had a little ribbon that was hanging there in the middle, you know, and they had a line, because I really don't want anybody to get hurt, okay? Because,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we kids can be really aggressive sometimes, and they say, now, look, we got this ribbon here, and we're going to move it this way or move it that way. And whoever moves it this right or left will be the ones who we determine are going to be the winner. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when they're playing this tug of war, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get us to come on their side, you know? So they have the advantage, okay,
mm-hmm.
through their lies and their deceit
and
their corruption, you know? Because they say, hey, and this is the devil talking, okay? The devil talking says, you know what? When you come my way, you get all the riches and glory.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the riches of the world, you know?
Yeah.
And God just says, you know, if you come my way, you'll get peace on earth, goodwill to men, and you'll have heavenly bounty and all that kind of stuff. But to a lot of people, Jill, that just is too boring, you know? They seem to think, you know, that's just not me. I like the limelight. I like the party and, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They want the easy road, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's like you, over here on this side, you can party, you can drink, you can fornicate, you can do whatever you want. You know,
yeah.
You could even traffic women and children and harvest their energy, and it seems like this is the side to be on because it's so you know
fun.
It's so entertaining, so earthly.
Oh yeah, I mean right there at the moment. In the moment, it sounds fantastic to those that have a twisted mind. In other words, they haven't had the education, and I mean the education of the Word of God. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm not saying the Word of God that is from the King James Version, people. I'm saying the Word of God that's in your heart. Because if you allow Jesus into your heart, you'll hear him. He gives you the Word. He gives you discernment. He gives you what you need to survive. He's the food.
Yes.
Remember this. He said, I'm trying to remember it. Something about that he's the food, you know? He's our nourishment. He's our nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
But what do? We tend to look towards somebody else for our nourishment. And it just frustrates God. Can you imagine? He's such a loving God. I mean, you know, and we know that time's coming when he's going to say enough's enough. We're quickly approaching that. But right now, he's saying there's still time. There's still time for you to turn from your wicked ways. There's still time for you to come back to me. I will welcome you with open arms, you know. He's a shepherd, right? He wants his flock to be obedient, to be in the fold, not out of the fold. Okay, I'm sorry. Again, I get off on tangents. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally fine. You know, I wanted to share with you guys one of the reasons that we read from this scripture, from the holy text, from the Bible, is because it's a historical text, yes. But also, you know, it's become a topic of discussion because as the agenda tries to tell the masses, hey, that book is crap, it's lies, it's this, it's
anti-Semitic,
that.
Anti-Semitism. Seriously?
It's now.
How can the Word of God be anti-Semitic? I don't get it.
It's everything under the sun. But I want to give you something to ponder about and to think about when it comes to this scripture. If it was so false and made up, then why would text be hidden from it for us to see? Right? Because if it's all make-believe, there's no need to take text and hide it in the Vatican. We should all be able to see the historical text, right? It's not a big deal. It's not real.
Well,
right?
You know,
is that what they say?
Well,
and
I'm going to
push the envelope even a bit further, right? Because if it's not real, then why would the law of our land today still require us to put our hand on the book?
Amen. When you're testifying, yes. When you're saying, You swear to hold the truth and to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. Yeah. So that's convenient. That's convenient for them to use. Yeah, it's convenient for them to use God then, right?
Oh yes. But when
you have these masses that come out there and they say, you know, oh, I don't think there's anything good about God. Really? Mm-hmm. And you pledge allegiance to who? Who do you pledge allegiance to? Uh-huh. So it's quickly seeing that, you know, whatever selective memory or whatever selective verse that they choose to pull out, right, that makes it important.
Yeah.
Do that. God says it's all or nothing. All or nothing.
We can't be lukewarm. And this is why... This is why I want to bring this to your attention. Before they try to corrupt your minds into believing that there's no relevance to this book today, I want you to understand that if there wasn't, if this didn't hold any weight, then why would it matter if you put your hand on it and committed yourself to in the spirit, right?
Right.
Because that's what you're doing. You are committing yourself in the spirit, because they can't tell right there by you putting your hand whether you're lying or not, but they know that if you are lying with your hand on that holy text,
you could be struck
dead. You are condemning yourself in the spirit, which is...
Yeah, you could be struck dead. Mm-hmm.
Because
you realize you...
That
you
they
realize,
don't teach us, right?
Well, you realize, okay, if everybody knows about the court, okay... they do have, I do believe they have a statue outside of most courts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it has Lady Justice.
Mm-hmm.
She's blindfolded. Now, why is she blindfolded? Because you need to present your case.
Yes.
You see? And so when you get up there and you put your hand on the Bible, and also when our takes the oath of office, okay, what does he lay his hands on? The Bible.
Yes. Why?
Now, why? Why?
Ask yourselves, why? Mm-hmm. If this book is what they are trying to tell our children has no merit, means nothing, a whole bunch of fairy tales, then why is it still so prevalent to this day in everything that we do? Because there are spiritual and universal laws that are not being shared with the masses, but they're being shared with certain fraternal and religious groups that will hold you bound to things you don't even know you're bound to.
Amen, sister. Preach that.
They'd rather keep you ignorant.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Amen.
To your spiritual destiny.
You see, ignorance, Jewel, breeds doubt.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
And see, that's what they want us to do. They want us to doubt each other.
Thing
they want us to fear each other.
Into the matrix is this constant fear, which is one of the reasons why I had to turn off my television, right? I'm telling you, if you are watching news,
it's telling lies.
After lies, after lies, and you know, Thomas, it just builds this fear, you know, and don't get me wrong, because there are corrupt law officials, because there's still news of corrupt law officials attacking certain people, and it is true, right? That does happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you become so consumed in these stories and give power to people and things that don't have spiritual power, you will be entrapped into this mindset of fear, which is exactly where they want to hold you.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, Jill, I'm gonna add a little something to that. You know, I was thinking of this. You know, televisions, maybe, you know, I think a lot more people are dealing with cable vision. Now, do you think cable vision is... cabal. Think about it. Cable vision. So in other words, the cabal, they want us internet they want, it's a net. So a net, right? What does a net do?
Yeah,
holds you in. Holds you in. So internally, an internal net, So see, they want us to soak all this in. Okay? So when we go to Google, what is Google giving us? An interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But that interpretation, they want it to be used to sway us. Like it's gospel. Yeah. You realize, Jewel, that Google is more found and more researched than the Bible.
It probably is. I wouldn't doubt that.
Now that's just sick. Now this is a search engine, people. A search engine. Meaning it's powered by what? Powered by Jewel? It's powered by the devil.
Yeah, absolutely right.
So Matrix, getting out of the Matrix, you're damn right.
And that's the thing too, Thomas. Even with the with Google and the internet, you know, you do a search for whatever the topic is, and it's a good chance that the truth is buried on page 9.
Amen. Well, right? I've heard this too. I've heard this. If you want to go Google, go to the very last reference, and that will be the truth. That'll be the truth.
The first three pages are telling you, don't believe it, it's a conspiracy.
Yeah!
By the time you get, you dig deep into the actual truth, and you're like, oh my goodness, this really happened. Or there's really that many pyramids all in the water all over the place?
Oh yeah!
I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's amazing how much knowledge is hidden. And until...
And that's what, Jewel, what the Roman Catholics did, the Vatican.
Yes.
They knew that there were 26 books of the Bible that they didn't want to have nothing to do with. So they took them out.
The question is, why? Why is that?
We would question them. We wouldn't need them.
You know, it's funny, Brother Thomas, because I grew up in Catholic school, and I've you know, studied their religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was required of me as a student.
The catechism? The catechism? Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've attended their church, which is also, you know, it was required when we were younger that we had to go over the mass. And one of the things I observed, and I don't want to, you know, offend anyone, but I'm always very honest and observant. Those that know me well know that I will tell it as I see it.
Well, Jewel, I'm sorry to say this, but something needs to be said. You know, the leader of the Catholic Church is who?
The Pope is their leader.
And how much involved in?
You know, Thomas, you know what? You just made me think of something. Before I even delve even deeper into this,
I'm going down another rabbit hole. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I want to preface my comments by saying when I advise you guys to use the Bible and read the Bible, I'm not promoting any religious practice over another religious practice.
Amen.
I am advising you to read this historical text and find out for yourself about the hidden secrets and spiritual knowledge that's there for everyone. That they are deterring people from and wanting to keep people ignorant.
Right. Well, Jill, I want to throw in something too, a little bit for that. You know, there's a books that they need to really delve into that we don't know about. But if I've heard the Book of Enoch, probably need to look into that.
And the Apocrypha.
Apocrypha. Oh my God, the Apocrypha. If you had the Apocrypha, Jill, you wouldn't need a priest. Because, you know, God tells you in the Apocrypha how you can fend off those evil spirits.
Yes.
So you don't need an exorcist.
That's another thing I was going to touch on today, Brother Thomas. But before I touch on that, right, I want to talk about just really quickly what I've observed when I was a youth going to Catholic school, learning about their religious practices, and then going to their church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I went to their church, I noticed they had statues there, you know,
Mary.
Many people. Yes, often did some type of salute or praise of these statues.
Yes.
I also noticed
the
when
saints,
I was...
You're talking
I
about
was,
the saints? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Okay. I also noticed when the mass commenced, those of you who've ever been to a Catholic mass know that there's a lot of sitting, standing, kneeling on a repetitive basis. But what was even more interesting to me than that ritual or routine was the fact that there were times that what do they call them? They don't call them preachers. They call them
priests.
The priest. The priest would read from the Bible sometimes in Latin.
Uh-huh. But you know what he would say to you, Jewel? I think you remember this. Did he have to say to you, you know, when they had it like the congregational response? Okay. He would say, "Repeat after me."
Yes. Yes.
So what does that mean? Repeat after me, people. Think about it. So in other words, you need to do exactly what he says do. Is that what God wants? Uh-uh.
And the reason why I'm saying no is because all of this is a ritual, and you are partaking of it voluntarily, sometimes not even understanding the language in what you are partaking in, right?
Oh, yeah. You want to get into the Lord's Supper? Woo-hoo! Yeah, we'll go into that one.
And that's the thing. There's a lot of hidden rituals in our day-to-day lives that I think we should question, we should... inquire.
God wants us to, Jewel. He wants us to question. How can you learn?
If you don't raise your hand.
There's no bad question, people. There's no bad question. The question that's bad when you don't answer, you don't ask it.
And I'm not just limiting this conversation to the Catholic religion, because there's other religions likewise. But I wanted to point out that I did notice that I didn't see a lot of people in the congregation reading the Bible.
No.
They were kind of spoon-fed whatever the priest said.
The regurgitation.
They just went along with it, even if it was in another language. I want to encourage our followers, people on their spiritual journey, to pause and to stop following what your parents did, what your grandparents did, what your great-grandparents did, because
they could have been led astray, and most likely they were led astray.
And went down paths that you don't need to go down because you may have to pay the penalty for their decision.
That they're paying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I want to further emphasize that this is not an attack on the Catholic religion. I would even go as far as to say even with certain fraternities and sororities, that you may join.
They ask you to do something weird. They ask you to do something
either
weird.
Either in college or after college.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was...
When you do the pledging. Oh, yeah, pledging.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I know that they're very attractive because, you know, you think they can get you connections into things. And
it looks good on the resume. You know, your first one. It looks good on it.
You wouldn't have an opportunity to have without these connections. But I want to tell you that God is the ultimate connection. He can put you in places and have you meet people you would never imagine you would meet. You don't need to put yourself in a situation that you may not be able to pray yourself out of. Do you hear me?
Amen.
And I want to emphasize this because I know sometimes, especially for our young people, you hear
follow
about
this.
These groups. And sometimes they may even sing gospel songs and it triggers in your
head.
They look like
they're part of the
fellowship. Uh-huh. Or, you know, but then what's behind the veil that that everyone doesn't see is the deities that they're pledging allegiance to. See, that's where you cross a line of no return. And you're now violating a spiritual law with God. See, that's what's not discussed. No one sits you down and say, hey, are you ready to sever your relationship with God and come sit down and, and worship this deity? No, that conversation never happens. They're asking you to repeat after me.
And that's exactly what it is. And that's the instructions that we've had since day one. When we learn spelling. Oh, and there's something lesson about spelling. Remember what we found?
We did.
So
we did
spelling, you know, they say repeat after me. So that you would do that when you're in school. You would learn how to pronounce. And so the teacher would say, repeat after me. All right. So basically, your teacher was giving you the spelling. So your teacher was giving you the spell. Did y'all just hear that one? So in other words, they get us with simple things, you see? Because we always thought, okay, that's kind of cool. No, it's not. In other words, when you're doing these incantations, when you're doing this spell, you're repeating after someone, and you're judged on whether you said it correctly. Okay? God don't do that. God don't do that. You know? He allows you to spell it wrong. Yeah. Because he knows it's wrong. You know, it's probably twisting his ear. He's going, ooh, that's wrong. But just like life, he says, you know, they're going down that wrong path. But I said I wasn't going to interject. I said I was going to give them free will. And I do, and I will. So it's up to us, individually, not group. Realize this, if we started listening for ourselves and not as a group and follow along with the group, Jewel, would we not be a whole lot?
We would be. We would be.
And that's breaking the matrix. That's breaking that out of the matrix.
That would just break right out of it. And that's what the goal today is for us to unlock these doors where our minds were held captive and feeling like we needed to go along to get along, to be a part of in order to be recognized and to be promoted and pulled in certain circles. And before you look, you know it, you look around and you're like, this circle is complete crap. There's no quality here. I'm surrounded by murderers, killers, and fornicators. But but they told me that
And we want to bump them into office, Jewel. We want to bump them into office. We want them to lead our country. We want them to be the ultimate one who has the control of the kill switch.
Yes.
You know what I'm getting at?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who has the power of the nuclear weapon box, right? We want those people who are murderers, fornicators, liars to be in control of our ultimate destiny. No. No. God should be the one that's in control of our ultimate destiny.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Thomas. And there was something else you brought up that I want to touch on a little bit today as we break through the matrix is what's going on in the medical field.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
As well as and how it relates to a lot of
the
sorcery spells and deception that's happening at the same time in conjunction with what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a lot of the symbols that are used,
Jewel, you know, some of the symbols, and I'll say one of them, we're talking about the medical field. Do y'all know what's on an ambulance? Do you realize that it's a serpent? Do you realize it's a serpent encircling a needle?
Yes.
Do y'all realize that? So, in other words, our medicine, apothecary, okay, apothecary. Do you realize those were coming up with basically those are spells and incantations? So the medicines that you go to your pharmacy to get are created, man-made created. Do you think they're created for your common good?
No.
They're for profit. And Julie, you want me to bring up what I found out about COVID-19?
Sure.
All right. People, COVID-19 was created for profit. You heard me right. In other words, they sold our souls. They knew that the, I'm going to say jab, so I won't be word, but everybody knows what the jab is, were deadly. They knew that they were going to be harmful. They knew that we shouldn't be giving these to six-month-old children. They knew that we shouldn't be giving them to the elderly. They knew what was going to happen, and they let it happen because it only fed to the, you know, the profit of Big Pharma. And, of course, there's many people that are behind Big Pharma. I mean, your politicians, they bow down to Big Pharma. They allow them to get away with, pardon the pun, Jill, murder! Because it is murder. So many people died because of it.
But interesting enough, Thomas, the reason why so many people succumbed to making that decision to take that jab is because the television
lying.
So much fear.
Death. Oh, my God, Jewel. Do you remember? Maybe the people don't remember this, but I do. Almost every newscast was showing death.
Yes.
Did you see caskets? Piled up caskets in Italy. Oh, my God. So many people died. Caskets. In New York, they had so many people dying.
I was in the midst of the chaos.
They couldn't even hold them in the morgue. They brought refrigerated trailers out to house the bodies, people. That was death. Criminal.
I remember during that time, and I wasn't as grown in my spiritual journey. Yes.
You were smart.
But I do recall at that time, I would tell people to be still.
Yeah.
Don't move. Wait on God. Don't move.
Yeah.
And it was like the enemy just kept applying this pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, you know, I'm going to take
you. How dare you?
Away.
You realize you're putting
not
other people. If you don't care about
you're not
right.
going to be able to.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to go to a restaurant without a special
card. Well, that, but Jewel, also,
I
they
mean,
made you feel guilty because they said, you should care about your fellow man. That's
yes,
what great.
Yes. And you just started seeing family turn against family and saying, what, you didn't take it, you should have taken it because I took it. And it just became this madness of propaganda.
Yes.
That six-foot
fucking rule. Sorry, but that was ridiculous.
And you look back now, and we could chuckle about it a bit, because it like many of their spells, it just disappeared.
Overnight. It was because, Jewel, you know what they said? I was watching a video the other day, and I told you about this guy, and he said basically, when you got COVID, are y'all ready for how many people really survived from COVID? 90%. 90%.
Yep.
90% of us did all this shit. For what? You know what I'm saying?
You would have recovered.
If we had just simply isolated the protected class.
Yes.
And kept them medicated, okay? I'm not talking about medicines from Big Pharma. I'm talking about natural substances. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we know they're out there. If we had done that, we could have gotten out of this pandemic overnight because, you know, our human bodies, we are the protective shield. Do y'all realize that? We're the protective shield. In other words, I'll be kind of blunt here. You know, Jewel, when you have a child, right? Mm-hmm. And that baby's first come out of the womb, right? It's mm-hmm. your responsibility to feed that child, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
What yeah. do you give that child? What's the most important thing to give that child?
The colostrum, the...
Yes, from the breastfeeding, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they've even taken that from the people because they said people don't have time for breastfeeding. So they give you a chemical mm-hmm. milk, a formula. Does that sound good to you, Jewel, that you're going to give your child a formula?
That sounds like another spell to me, Thomas.
It is a spell. Yeah. Woo-hoo! It's a spell. It's a big spell. Because God gave you, he gave you that colostrum. That is your inoculation for your child. That starts that child off to spark the natural healing process. And we all have it. But we've been taking antibiotics. Now, isn't that interesting? And we say antibiotics. Okay, you got to take an antibiotic because, you know, you've got something wrong with you. Think about that word. Anti. What does anti mean? Negative. So mm-hmm. no biotics. You know what biotics do, Jewel?
Mm-hmm.
They cleanse yes. you. They yes. cleanse you. So why are we erasing the biotic functions of our bodies? Why? Because Big Pharma said so. Because the doctor said so. Uh-huh. She said, exactly. Repeat after me. Sir, you won't get better unless you take my little prescription here. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. I say bullshit. And y'all need to, too.
Brother Thomas, let's try to keep it clean for our listeners.
I'm sorry.
But I agree with you.
I'm sorry. But it's the truth, people. We need to wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up. How much are y'all spending on your medical bills? Hey, Jill, you want to give them that little thing, what happened with you today? I think it's a prevalent thing to be saying right now.
Well, there's so many, I usually don't like to share too many stories about my little people, mm-hmm. per se. But I will say that,
Well, it's the starting of the year. I bet everybody that has anything to do with any kind of sports is having to do this, Jewel. So, you know. It's pretty
yeah,
prevalent.
You know, my little guy needed a sports physical, and the sports physical, coincidentally, is not covered under insurance. So, God forbid, if anyone is struggling financially, it sounds like their children won't be able to play sports. And by
right.
the grace of God, you know, that's not the case for me. But I have been humbled at many times in my life, and it made me reflect on those times. And
yeah.
Just to think about, I would have to tell my son, you can't participate because I don't have
right.
this extra money for a sports physical, even though you had a regular physical. That, I mean, you know, it's things that you don't think about because you're in a blessed situation. But if you have
yeah.
ever been humbled in your life
yeah.
and had to get things out of from the mud,
yeah.
so to speak,
yeah.
you can relate to your peers that are struggling, and you have more empathy for them, which is
and that's what we need, Jewel.
Empathy.
We need yeah. more empathy. We need more sympathy.
Yes, and the empathy or this God given love and care for others
mm-hmm.
Can only come from the Father. I want to emphasize that.
Amen.
Because what we have here today are a lot of people not just lacking empathy, but they have become, and I know this word gets thrown around a lot, but it's true. They have become narcissistic and
Amen.
Very, very self-serving.
Selfish. Oh, COVID did that to us. Mm. I've never seen so many self-centered people. Woo, self-serving.
These various groups with like-minded individuals that wouldn't mind harming
yeah.
or kidnapping or
yeah.
blacklisting or all just all kinds of heinous things for
yeah.
their greed
and, yeah.
and their power, so to speak.
Avarice is the root of all,
it,
the root
it,
of all
it,
evil.
And the only way this can be combated is for God to move his selected chosen people that have empathy into positions of
yes.
leadership.
Yes.
Because the leaders that are behaving this way, corrupting,
mm-hmm.
Corrupting
the pretenders,
their
hey, Jewel. The pretenders.
Or the local Academy Award winner.
yeah. Well, you know, that's what acting is all about. Aren't we pretending? We're pretending
yes.
to be someone. And that's
yes.
why we give them an award for your pretension. You
yeah,
did a great job
you know
of pretending.
What? I know we laugh about it, but I really do think that a recognition of some sort
mm-hmm.
should be given out in almost
mm-hmm.
like a walk of shame, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
That you have taken a position of authority of this power that
mm-hmm.
Should be a blessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
put into leadership positions, and I don't glorify
mm-hmm.
any title here given
right.
by men.
Right.
I'm walking in my purpose of God, which
yeah.
supersedes many of these titles. But if you are given a title that especially young people would look up to and think that you are someone to be emulated, it's really disheartening when you corrupt
mm-hmm.
that title.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's like it takes all the merit away
yeah.
from it being this highly acclaimed thing to reach, this pinnacle that young people look up to reach.
Yeah. Well, Jill, I want to inject something in with that. So, and everybody knows about what's going on in the political climate, right? And we know that Kamala has chosen her vice presidential candidate. Do y'all know what he's known as? Tampon Tim. Now, think about that one. Do you realize that he initiated in his state of Minnesota that there would be tampons every bathroom? Because they said, heaven forbid that a woman goes in there and she needs a tampon. And in a boys' bathroom? Really? Now, isn't that corrupt? Isn't that satanic? Is that not weird? That you're now giving this instructions to the schools, and the schools are passing it down to the children. Oh, don't worry, we're installing this little box here. And the boys are going, what's that for? You know? And they said, well, if you don't know, you don't need to know. Hello? Okay. But those that know will know. Right? That's what they believe in. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interject, but I thought that would be important.
Well, thank you for sharing. I don't usually touch
on
politics because of the level of corruption that you would have to dig through.
the muck? You talk about the muck, Jewel?
yeah, it's too much. It's too much. And the things that they have to do to get to these positions are not really understood by the masses. So I generally don't even give them a platform of recognition. I don't support one over the other.
Right.
I think we as the people have to start
vote the man, not the party. Vote the man, not the party.
We have to take control of our own lives. And one of the things
mm-hmm.
that Brother brought up earlier, which I said I was going to come back around circle to, was he mentioned the book where you guys can start healing yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is spiritually, of course. There's also
the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha.
Books. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's. I want you guys to understand that a lot of the ailments and sicknesses that we see on people
mm-hmm.
are often spiritual,
mm-hmm.
More so than you think.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably surprise you how many people would join together in canotations
yeah.
to bring sickness over someone, but they do that.
Well, basically, Jewel, it's frequency. We're realizing now that we're dealing with the matrix, that it is all about frequency.
Yeah, and that's another good point. You know, these people that are in this negative frequency thrive by trying to keep others in a negative frequency. And what I mean by that is when you are in a state of anger, when you are in a state of fear, when you are in a state of frustration, jealousy, envy, these are all low frequency states of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when your body and your mind is the most vulnerable to be in. And it's why it's so important for you to distance yourself from low frequency individuals. I don't care if you grew up with them. I don't care if you knew them all your life. I don't care if it was your best friend. If you know that they are operating in a low frequency, it would be in your best interest to separate yourself quick, fast, and in a hurry, because you need to protect your own health and well-being. Okay, that's one of my best advice.
Well, Jewel, you know, this negativity is basically like a cancer.
It is, and it leeches on to you. Because here's the other thing. Aside from frequency, here's the next level. Some of these people are carrying entities on them. And that's something that the church doesn't talk to you about either or prepare you for. Because that's a whole nother can of worms, right?
Well, it's the haves and it's the haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
And that's what our society's always been based on, Jewel. Those that have and those that have not. And they always separated the two.
I don't know if you recalled, and I'm not going to go too long because I know how we run over.
We already have, but I don't care. This is great. This is great information. I hope everybody's getting a good dose. I'm going to use apothecary thing here. A good dose of it.
There was a movie called, I think it was The Manchurian Candidate.
Yes, Candidate. Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead.
And, you know, a lot of these movies and even cartoons carry such tokens and notes of spiritual law and spiritual, just universal law that we take from. And I remember there was this part in the show where it shows you how these entities can pretty much monitor you and kind of chase you down through jumping through other people's vessels that are not protected. Right?
Yeah.
So this is, and check out the movie, if you haven't. It's a really good movie. And it just shows Denzel Washington with the walking down the street.
Yes, and it was great. Yes, it was great, you know, because it showed how, you know, he went in innocently and he figured out he had been manipulated. Manipulated. And then the other character who was running for president, running for senator, and I think that they assassinated the president. And so he was next in line. And so he knew that Denzel's character was up there in the audience, behind a wall. And he knew that he was there to assassinate somebody because that was his instructions to do.
Yeah.
And so it was so interesting. I thought it was so poignant that he looks up at him and he nods. Do you remember that, Jewel? He nods to Denzel.
Yes, I do.
He says, do it. Take the kill shot. Do it now. And so what it ended up doing was it not only killed him, but it killed his mother. Because she was the one that had instigated her son in all this crime and corruption. And he says, you know, you're going to take me out, and rightly so because of what I've done. But you need to take out the cancer. And so they did. And The Manchurian Candidate, people, is a wonderful movie.
It is a really good movie. I related to it on so many levels, the depth of it. And
the brainwashing, Jewel. Oh, my God, the brainwashing.
The brainwashing.
Oh, horrible.
The setups, to be, it's just so much to it that you can.
And the people felt, and those that realized that they had been, I guess they had been woke, okay?
Yeah.
They realized that what they were capable of doing, and they couldn't live with it. They couldn't live with
yeah.
it. So they committed suicide. And that what that kind of got Denzel Washington's character. Guy had been a cool guy. And then all of a sudden, he ends up dead.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say death anymore on TikTok. I'm forgetting what they say. Unalived? Whichever is stupid.
Unalived, yeah.
So mm-hmm. he unalived himself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so he couldn't figure out what was going on, but then in the end, he did figure it out. And so he says, wow, the programming that goes on. And people, we're under the program right now.
We are.
The Matrix is just.
That's one of the last things that I want to say before I close out with the Psalm 23, calling in for protection for all of you.
Amen.
But the last thing I want to emphasize is that there is a lot of programming, so much so that some people have even turned it up another level and volunteered certain people to be even experimented on and sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really going on. This is not a figment of your imagination. Turn off your TVs.
Conspiracy theorists?
What's happening around you.
Right.
You realize that, you know, when you see
we're pawns in the game of chess, people. We're pawns in the game of chess.
Yes. And this experimentation that's happening with our society is not just troubling to our Father, but he wants it to come to an end.
And he's going to bring it to an end. He's going to bring it to an end.
Which is correct. And part of my calling is to call it out, expose it, expose what's happening with these young people being trafficked underground, energy being harvested.
Yeah.
And, you know, them in putting all this fear in these kids only so that they believe that they can, live long.
Be better people. Yeah.
These people have in their minds of why they would torture young people. But this is all what's happening in many of these groups that's not being discussed.
We need to bring back faith, Jewel. You know what?
We have a new generation coming up that's unsuspecting and just eager to go along and get along. And, you know, I told you, I don't usually share stories of my young people, but my son had said something to me today that made me just reflect on that statement. And when we were walking home, my son had said, Mom, just keep on walking. Don't look back in that direction. And I was like, why? What's back there? And he's like, some kids that are part of a gang, they want to recruit. And I told him, you know, the only gang that I'm a part of is God's gang. And
amen.
God's gang. And it touched my heart that even through all of this chaos and madness that I'm instilling the true source that will live on after I'm gone in my child.
That's what it should be.
I want to tell you guys, with everything that we've unveiled today, please make sure that you check your affiliations and make sure you're part of God's gang.
Amen.
When the time comes.
God's gang. I love it. The
okay.
GG. Can we be the GG?
Yes. yes.
We ought to print up t-shirts. We're GG. God's gang. I love it.
And for those of you that are just now finding your way to God because maybe you weren't introduced at home. You know, they surely aren't going to introduce you in school, but you've come across this podcast or you come across someone that spirit resonated with you and you realize they're a really good person and they would really do the right thing despite others doing the wrong thing around you.
Amen.
And you realize that getting closer to God is where you want to be. I want to introduce you to the Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Brother Thomas mentioned that you young people are good at Google now, so you can Google this Psalm. my favorite.
Well, you know what, Jill? I don't know now that they've stepped that. Well, I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, Jill, because I think if they're going to follow in line with what the masses are saying and the leaders are saying, they're saying, because let me tell you, all of our politicians voted for this, to eliminate reading the scriptures, to eliminate talking about God. So I don't know if they're going to find it. Eventually, Jill, I do believe they will erase anything mentioning about the Bible and scriptures of the Bible in Google.
Well, they will try, but I want to remind you all that we are the living word.
Amen.
We are the modern day Job. We are the Esther. We are the Ruth.
Yes.
We are the modern day word. And so that the Bible is just the guide that you in flesh and spirit live on, live again.
Yeah.
So with that said, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
And those are God's words, people, and that's to live by. I mean, if we would say and believe that and follow that, our world would be a different place, Jill.
It sure would. I just want to give some quick shout-outs before we get out of here to a couple of people who commented on our most recent podcast.
Uh-huh.
Sir Kendall Smith said, I want to thank you for sending this inspiring podcast. I truly understand the process of ensuring we reach people in any way necessary to let them know that our Heavenly Father is the overall healer in our lives.
Bravo.
So there are families broken for whatever reason it may be. You are an inspiration to all who are willing to listen
Woo!
And follow the Lord our God.
Oh, my goodness. What praise. Oh, my God. But to God give the glory, Jewel. God give the glory.
God,
Amen.
God gets all the glory, Sir Smith. I thank you for those comments. It's really motivating to hear that.
Keep us going. It'll keep us going, Jewel. Keep us going.
That you appreciate us walking in our calling and doing what our Father wants us to do. But I definitely appreciate those words. It really hit
Amen.
Home.
Amen.
So thank you so much, Kendall Smith. Kirk Lim Song said, good night. Sorry I took so long to reply, but please keep up the good work. Well done. Well done.
Ooh, well done, my good
Kirk.
And faithful servant. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
We're hearing it from
Thank
the masses,
you,
Jewel. We're
Thank
hearing
you,
it from
Kirk.
The masses. Mm.
We appreciate it. Shankar Manna said, it's great, madam. I appreciate your healing podcast. I want to join your podcast on another day whenever you want, ma'am.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's from Shankar. Yes, Shankar, you are welcome to join. You just let me know.
Anybody I can have words of
a good time, inspiration. A good time for you. Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm. We're not the all-knowing, trust me, people. We're human.
The door is open, and it's a healing and spiritual journey together. So you are welcome to join,
Amen.
Shankar.
Amen.
Mukim Ahmed said, I really appreciate your work. Well, thank you, Mukim. We will continue to try to put forth God's work the best.
Wow. We're getting such a diverse group out there, Jewel. I'm
we
impressed.
Are.
I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad.
Carol Mikowski said, I imagine your podcast is very helpful to a lot of people. The more dysfunctional the family, often the more challenging coping with life can be.
Mm.
Yes, Carol. I think this comment was pertaining to the healing series. Yes, Carol, I will definitely have to share this message
with
Stephanie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but you're absolutely right. You know, I come from a dysfunctional family, to say the
Me
least.
Me too.
And,
I surely did.
It can be very challenging. But I hope that, you know, my story can help heal and bring some guidance with a dose of love to those in need of understanding how to navigate through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but thank you. Thank you, Carol. You're absolutely
wow.
right.
Wow, great words. Oh, please, people, keep up the comments. That's payment enough. Oh, my God. You talk about paying it. People are paying it forward.
Yes.
With their comments, because people, you know, we wonder if we're being listened to. We wonder if people are actually staying with us for the longevity. And I know that we are. A lot of times over time, and we try. We really do try to keep it under a certain amount of time, but God wants us to say these things. And, you know, it's God's program, and it's His podcast. I mean, y'all may not know, but before we ever start this thing, every single time, and we say, Lord, You have control of this. You will direct how it goes and whatever direction that it goes in. And to God be the glory again, because again, He is you. We are His mouthpiece, I guess you could say. We are the ones that are giving it a human voice. Okay. And I think He wants to have a human voice, you know, and
Absolutely.
He wants us to have a human impact. And these people giving us these comments, oh my God, it's so impactful. And so I'm going to say one last thing. I want you people, I know that you've heard this expression before, whenever you have somebody that talks a whole lot about things, when you get back and you're able to really listen to it, I want you to unpack what we've said. Take
yes.
it a
yes.
step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So much that we have thrown together here. But when you go and unpack it, unpack like you're unpacking clothes out of your suitcase, well, you know, we're a suitcase, are we not? Our bodies are a suitcase.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to unpack, you know, the underwear from, you know, the day clothes or whatever. So, again, what I'm trying to get at is do take your time with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the scriptures, see if you see the same things, because that's what it is. The Bible, it should be used as a tool. It is not the all-ending word. It is not. It's a tool. It is timeless, and we've proven that, because even what they were talking about here with Samaria, are we not facing those very same things? With
yes.
winds of war, Jewel, winds of war.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes. we need to be focused. Mm-hmm. You know, shake your head. I mean, you know, what I want to say, ridicule God. Y'all know about the Olympics. Y'all know what happened at the beginning of the Olympics. What did they do? That whole thing was a display of how corrupt and how satanic our world has become.
Mm-hmm.
And they suffered because of it too, didn't they?
Yes.
They
yes.
did.
I have
that.
I have one last message, and this one really touch my heart, because there's a spirit of depression that's going around.
Oh my God.
And
yeah.
people need to feel encouraged during this time, because as I mentioned before, you know, there's others that are using this negative energy in some terrible
yeah.
ways and trying
you.
To force, yeah, it put feelings of giving
Doubt.
Up and suicide on people.
Yeah.
That's all spiritual energy. And so I got this message from Tracy Milias, and she said, my life, my health is now life-threatening. Uh-huh. I'm exhausted from trying to save myself. Lord, please deliver me all the recognition, reward, urgent support that I've worked so hard for.
Bless your heart.
You know, my suffering, my challenges to help others, all to save our communities and human value. Five years of this just cannot continue. When will I receive relief I deserve?
I hear you.
Tracy, I've done it as well. I definitely hear your words. I empathize with your suffering. I understand, you know, you may have been suffering for some time now, as many of the Lord's children have been suffering either health-wise, spiritually, illegal experimentation, harassment. The list just goes on, and you know, my prayers are with you, sister. Don't give up.
No.
Hang on. The breakthrough is coming.
It's coming.
And I want to encourage you to fast if you haven't done so with us before. A great day to fast. The best
midday.
Day I would recommend.
They call it hump day.
Yeah, well,
I don't know why they call it that. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird. We fast on Wednesdays, but I can tell you, I also occasionally do my own personal fast on Saturday, which is a very important day.
Original God's Day.
That is God's Day. And if you can give up some of these earthly desires and show your dedication to God one Saturday.
Yeah.
And I usually do it from dusk till dawn. And just be in constant prayer, meditation, and pick up your frequency. The frequencies around you are probably...
Get back to nature, Jewel. Get back to nature. Yes. Listen to nature
sounds.
Get
grounded. I like to walk sometimes and take off my shoes and get grounded.
And listen to the birds
singing. Our connection
singing.
With the earth.
Those
yes.
birds can sing such beautiful songs.
These are things that can naturally bring up your frequency and bring you joy. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be around negative people.
No.
So I hope today's prayer, Psalm 23, helps you.
Yeah.
And I hope Brother Thomas can also relate to how
I most definitely can. And I will say this to you, Tracy, and I this means very much to me. If you remember back when we're in the torrential in the torrent and the strife, that remember Peter when he was in the boat and it was tossing and turning just like our lives. And I get up and I face these adversities, and I know exactly what you're saying. I've been suffering with mine since January the 10th of 2022, so it's still going on even today. But if we would do just like what Peter did when he saw Jesus coming, and Jesus was walking on the water, okay? Now, here's this storm, and the seas are raising and all this kind of stuff. And Peter, when he looked out, he was focused. God's eyes, okay? And so as long as he stayed focused on God, he could float above it. So here's your hope, Tracy, that when you feel down the most, and I've been there.
It's okay.
Focus on God. Focus on his light. Focus on his love, and you'll get through it, no matter how many days. You see, you don't look at the amount of days. Tracy, learn to live one day at a time, okay? And when that day is accomplished, give God the glory, okay?
Amen.
And say, okay, God, I'm ready to face the next one. And that's how you go about it. And when you do,
You won't feel so overwhelmed. You won't feel so alone. Because I've been there, Tracy. I've been through those lonely times. I know what you're feeling. You feel like, God, with enough.
No, no.
Just realize this. Tracy, he is with you every single day. And all you have to try is to say to him, God, help me. You know, that Carrie Underwood song that she sang when things were going so rough and she couldn't handle the road, you know, and she nearly had a wreck. I don't know if you know the backstory of this thing, but she pulled off to the side of the road and she looked back at her child that was sleeping soundly and she goes, oh, that's amazing that my child know what I'm dealing with. And she said, God, I thought I could handle it. I thought I could handle this road, but I realize I can't. So Jesus, please take the wheel. Do y'all remember that song? Oh my God.
That sounds amazing. I don't remember, but.
Jesus take the wheel. I sent it to you, Jules, on your phone. Jesus take the wheel. Oh my God. What it means is let go, let God. Don't think that everything is impossible. Okay? Don't think that you can go one more minute with all this that you're dealing with. Always believe. Believe. Because Emmanuel lives. I expect a victory every day. And yes, Lord Jesus lives. If you say that every single day, if you live that every single day, if you realize God is there with you every single day, you can get through all these adversities. You will get peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen.
Yes,
and amen. Tracy, I feel your pain. I feel it. And I'm with you. I'm with you. And we're one or two. You're not alone, Tracy. We are not alone. We're not alone. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us today for this podcast. I surely hope that you will break through this matrix and help collapse it all together with the sea of lies. And find your way into the kingdom with the Most High God.
Amen.
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 Take care,
God. God bless all of y'all. God bless you all.